Grab a hymn book. Let's stand and turn to page 311. 311. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. On the fourth, I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Good to see you this morning. It's good to be back. It was so nice Tuesday evening to pull up in front of 4909 Sky Meadow Drive. Oh my, it was nice to be home. And it's good to be back at home and with you all in the services this morning. We pray that God's going to meet with us in a beautiful and a special way. I'm thankful. Thankful for His mercy. Thankful that I can be here with you today. We're looking forward to what He's going to do in our midst. And I would covet your prayers. As you might be able to tell, there's a little bit of a, I picked up a little bit of a frog. My family, my relatives were so generous, they decided to send me home with a cold. Wasn't that nice of them? I appreciate them so much. And again, of course, we surely do. And again, we had a wonderful time in Pennsylvania, in Georgia last week, and sent our granddaughter and the Martin son off. They went left on their honeymoon and got back today. And so we will see them next weekend. They'll be here in the service with us next Sunday. And, of course, the reception for them on Saturday. So looking forward to that. Well, let's take a couple minutes, welcome each other and the Lord. So please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors as well.
All right. Let's turn also in our hymn books to page 204. Page 204. We haven't sung this song much, but we have sung it a little. And I think it'd be good for us to get more familiar with it. Nearer, still nearer.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Hold me, O hold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest.
Let's sing that first verse one more time.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest.
On the last.
Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee.
Please be seated.
Please stand with us once more. Let's turn to 109. 109.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. Let's sing the last. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, get ready to receive this morning's offering. We'll do that. We'll go over a few announcements. Tonight, after the evening service, the teens are going to go on a snack night tonight. You say snack night? Yes, Sunday night after church, we're going to go to CC's. So the kids bring money to go to CC's. We'll be back by 9 o'clock, parents, and that's our goal to be back by then, and we usually are. And we're going to the one in White Settlement for those who might live on that direct side of town. If you want to pick them up from there, that could be a help also. So just let me know if you're going to. Just don't. I need, you know, all the information is critical on bringing y'all, you know, bringing them back this way or leaving them there. We won't leave them without you picking them up, obviously, of course. Let's see, this Saturday, July 15th, from 2 to 4 o'clock, we're having a wedding reception for the Martins. Andrew and now Caitlin Martland, and again excited to see them in, this Saturday for that. Sunday we're having David Martin's ordination service. Now make a note on that one. Sunday we usually start at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We're going to start 30 minutes early, 5:30 next Sunday night on that one right there. And if you have any questions on that, see Brother Turner as far as that goes. Ladies fellowship Tuesday at 7 and the pastor's class. VBS is right around the corner, and we still have some registrations back there for those who want to participate in VBS as far as little ones go, and those who want to help VBS. Now, immediately after the service tonight, before the CC thing, I would like to have a meeting with all the VBS volunteers, and it'll be a quick meeting. Say, Brother Curtis, how do you know it's going to be a quick meeting? Because I got CC's in mind. So we're going to get up, speak up, and shut up, and go to CC's. So anyway, for that, that's immediately after the service tonight. One more thing I'd like to ask, this is for parents of small kids. I'm asking y'all if you would please not allow them to play on the pianos and the organs and stuff of that nature. The buttons have been moved, and I've been told, I don't know, but I've been told that piano is worth more than I am. So anyway, ask you to, if you see any little ones up there, to go up there and just nicely say no. And if they give you any grief on it, go to Mama. You go take them to Mama. Yes, ma'am. Okay, the ladies' fellowship is the 18th, not this Tuesday. My wife says she apologized. She got ambitious about it. So she's getting all excited about it. Back it up a week. So there we go. And I think with that being said, let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today,
Amen.
Lord. Lord, thank you for the wonderful week that we've had so far, Lord. Lord, here it is, getting the spring is finally giving way to summertime, and Lord, you still provided us with rain and moisture. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I just want to say thank you for the little things that you give us, Lord. And Lord, I want to say thank you for the hard things you give us also, Lord. Thank you for putting us through it and bringing us through it that we can give you honor and glory. Lord, right now, I also want to ask you to be at this offering we're about to receive, be at the gift and the givers. And Lord, momentarily here, when the preacher comes to declare your word, that's what we're here for, is to hear from you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with him. Lord, guide and direct him what you want him to say. Give him liberty to say what you want him to say, Lord. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I sang this song a couple years ago. It's called Temptation. Some of you heard it. But
Amen. Thankful for the Lord's help all along the way. We face all kinds of temptations and trials. The Lord's there. He's there to help. Certainly, as we look to Him for that help. You'd be turning, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. I see something going on with the projectors are out again, so what's new? Do appreciate your prayers for me today as we look into this passage of Scripture. The Lord would sustain and strengthen physically. If you would, please, if you found your place in Acts chapter 7, please stand with me in reverence to God's Word. And didn't want to just take the title straight out of the passage, but title, if you will, for this morning's message is Turning the World Topsy-Turvy. Topsy-turvy indeed. In verse 1, Acts chapter 17, it says, Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. We found them, the them there, of course, is Paul and Silas. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. Father, we bow before you, thanking you indeed for your word. Thank you for Bibles today, Father, that as we gather in this church house, we have the liberty and the freedom still in these United States of America to reason together from the Word of God. We'd ask you, Lord, to take your word, open it to our understanding. Pray that indeed our Savior, the Lord Jesus, would be magnified. He would be exalted and preached today. Father, we glorify Thee for the life-changing, soul-saving message of the gospel. We're thankful that indeed that even today it has that same power to turn the world upside down. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. We see the course of the gospel here, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we see how the Apostle Paul and his preaching team traveled from place to place. And it's amazing. It is indeed amazing to track the course of the gospel. As we look at this passage, we see that they've been through these city, Amphipolis and Apollonia, and came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And of course, the synagogue was that place where the Jews of that time and even today met for the teaching of the Word of God. And we see here that it says in verse 2 that Paul, as his manner was, and it was his customary practice as he would enter a town. If indeed there was a synagogue there, he would go to that place where there was a ready audience, people that were familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures. And indeed, in that, he was also consistent with the teaching of the book of Acts, where the Lord sent the gospel first to the Jews, and then, of course, also to the Greeks or to Gentiles. And so we find Paul going there to the synagogue in verse 2. And for three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them. And the idea of that word reason is kind of an interesting word. And indeed, it has the idea of to discuss or to talk about. But in this sense, the word includes with it debate and to discuss it with the goal of convincing. There's a persuading measure to this word. Paul reasoned with them. And again, I praise God that this book, the Bible, has the power in it. It is the truth, beloved. And when you reason with the truth, you obviously are in the advantage. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And of course, that would be the Old Testament Scriptures. He opened, in verse 3, opening and alleging. He would explain to them. He presented to them that Christ, speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He indeed is explaining to them, as he would open and allege out of the Word of God, certainly out of all those Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, that this Jesus was indeed that one ordained of God, anointed of God to be that Messiah, the Christ, who would indeed come and, as it says here, suffer, die, and yet rise again from the dead. And hallelujah. Verse 4, it says, some of them believed. Some of them believed and began to consort or associate themselves with Paul and Silas. It says of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Now, I don't know if this group of Greeks or Gentiles there in the city of Thessalonica were Jewish proselytes or just some folks that were maybe fed up with the heathendom and the paganism of the worship there in the city of Thessalonica. It could be some that were indeed proselytes, those that were Jewish converts, devout Greeks, it says. But it's also interesting that the Scripture records that other women, some chief women, not a few, a great multitude of Gentiles, and some prominent women in the city. Isn't that interesting? It's amazing how much influence, we won't go there. How much influence a lady can have. But it says in verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, those Jews that believed not, and this is most likely speaking of the Jewish leaders in the city, those leaders there in the synagogue, of course, some of the rabbis, the leading teachers, and they believed not. They had rejected Paul's reasoning. They rejected what the Scripture said and what Paul opened to them concerning Jesus, the Christ. And as often is the case, they weren't satisfied with not believing themselves. They didn't like it that anybody else believed. Finishing our passage. It says, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Oh, they couldn't stand it. There would be some that would follow Paul and Silas. And indeed, rather than just following Paul and Silas, we're following this one named Jesus of Nazareth. And they were moved with envy. They took unto them certain, isn't this something? Lewd fellows of the baser sort. Well, that means they went down and got a bunch of thugs. A bunch of thugs to do their dirty work for them. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Assaulted the house of Jason. And it seems that this man Jason was one of those that had believed. And he was providing shelter for Paul and Silas. So they set on this man's house. But, well, Paul and Silas weren't there at the time. Found them not. They drew this Jason and some of the other believers, some of the other brethren, under the rulers of the city. And I love this statement. These These that have turned the world upside down, wow, are come hither also. Come hither also. Wow. Well, as we see, the events of our passage take place in the city of Thessalonica, which was in what was called Macedonia then. We would see it as northern Greece today. It's truly amazing, isn't it? To see how the gospel was, as the scriptures say, expanded, as it grew and multiplied, as we saw in verse 19 in our Sunday school lesson earlier. If we only consider the time frame from the resurrection of Christ until the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul, and that was probably somewhere around 67 A.D., 67, 68 A.D., Nero would have still been emperor of Rome. What are we talking about? 30-some years. Maybe tops about 35 years. And again, obviously, it all began in Jerusalem. But soon, from Jerusalem, the gospel spread to Samaria. And even out into the wilderness of the Arabian desert, as we read in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then, of course, the gospel went to the city of Damascus, where later the Apostle Paul would be saved just outside the city. And as we read through the scriptures, by the gospel reaches in Acts chapter 10 to the city of Antioch and Pisidia. And from that great missionary center, the Apostle Paul and early on Barnabas, and in our passage, Silas was sent. Now listen to this. From that great missionary church, the gospel was sent to the island of Cyprus, to Pergia of Pamphylia, Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lyconia. In time, Paul and his team took the message of Christ across Asia to the city of Troas and then into Macedonia, to the cities of Neapolis, Philippi, Apollonia, Thessalonica, Berea, and of course Corinth, Athens, and Cenchrea in Greece. The gospel crossed again the Aegean Sea and back into Asia, going through Ephesus and the cities of that part of Asia. There are other places, of course, other cities, other regions, even finally reaching to the city of Rome. And again, in the matter of 3 decades. Is that not amazing? In the matter of 30 years or so, God did such a tremendous work through, really, a small group of people. Beginning with those 11. Others like Paul and Barnabas that came out of those ministries. Those that were saved as in Paul's evangelistic and church planting ministries. So in approximately 3 decades, the gospel of Jesus Christ had reached what was then regarded as the world. Amazing. Amazing. Satan could not stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. False religion could not stop the gospel. Pagan governments could not stop the gospel, beloved. The lost and hypocritical leaders of the Jews in our passage hated the message of the gospel with everything that they were. You see, beloved, where the gospel was preached, it delivered. It delivered from the bondage of pagan religion. It delivered from the law. And these men in our passage, they hated it. Why did they hate it? Because they lost their grip. They lost their power over those dear folks' lives. Oh, envy, it says, does it not? Move them. Move them to arrange this riot in the city of Thessalonica. Wow. You see, beloved, nothing can stop the gospel. In our passage here, isn't it rather humorous that these Jewish leaders were so impotent, so powerless, that they went to the government. They went to the city leaders to try to get them to stop the Apostle Paul and Silas. Oh my. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the God that we serve. Praise the Lord for the power of the gospel. What was their cry to those city leaders? I love it again. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They've come here. They've come here. Aren't you thankful? I want to tell you, I'm thankful for the day the gospel came to where I was. Thankful for the day that the gospel came and reached a sinner named Jim Turner. The same thing, this opposition is going on all around the world today. All around the world today. False religion, pagan governments, and the devil himself are doing everything they can to keep the gospel from coming where they are. Isn't that the truth? Sure it is. The vast majority. I hate to say the... No, I don't. In any country where Islam is the predominant and the majority religion, the gospel is next to outlawed. Even in places where, quote unquote, there is religious freedom by constitution, Christianity is persecuted severely. Severely. If not totally outlawed. Communist countries. Yes, communist countries like China today are still doing everything they can to stop or at least hinder the gospel. In our own country, heathen Hollywood mocks and ridicules Christianity at every opportunity. It always amuses me that if there's going to be a religious, how are you going to say, influence or impact, an actor, a part in the show, that you can pretty much mark it down. He's going to be some kind of kook or pervert or something. Our government and liberal courts, the government schools, have outlawed, forbidden, and even, if we can say it, expelled Jesus Christ from the public square. But even with all their efforts, they can't stop the gospel. With all their efforts, the gospel continues. Souls are still being saved every day. Lives continue to be changed. I was gone last Sunday, but 2 weeks ago today, we had the privilege to baptize 7 people. Hallelujah, as my pastor in Georgia used to say. Huh? Hallelujah indeed. Why? Why is the gospel unstoppable? Well, we see here in verse 3. We find the answer in our passage. Paul, it says, was opening and alleging. Now notice it says that Christ must. Interesting. Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Yes, beloved. What was Paul's message in Thessalonica? What was his message wherever he went? Trace the book of Acts. Start there at the message on the day of Pentecost. And the message consistently through the book of Acts is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave. That's the message of the gospel, beloved. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross was not... Now listen to this. Christ's death at Golgotha was not God's plan B. Huh? I've heard preachers say some of the craziest things.
I heard a Baptist preacher one time say, well, when things didn't work out, say, what? Huh? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was God's plan from the beginning. Jesus didn't fail in His earthly ministry. He accomplished everything completely as God had ordained. Oh my. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20. Peter writes, and hallelujah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what it says. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, now listen, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. When did God establish this plan? To give His Son as our sacrifice for sin? Before He ever created a single stone. It was God's plan to sacrifice His Son for my sin and your sin. Who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Yes. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it echoes this. It says that He was indeed the Lamb slain, the Lamb, capital L, slain from the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus had to die. Must needs, it says, has suffered. Jesus had to die. He had to die to pay the price that you and I could not pay. He had to die to do what you and I could not do for ourselves. Hopefully you understand that without Christ you'll spend eternity under the judgment of God, the wrath of God for your sin. It is His just payment for our sin. But because Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that one that was indeed without spot, without blemish, gave His life, laid down His life. Hey, no one took His life. He laid it down of His own accord. To be that price for your sin and for my sin. Yes. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. We're familiar with these words. Neither is there salvation in any other. No place else to go, folks. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Where do we find salvation? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can Muhammad save us from sin? No. No. Can Buddha? Can Buddha save from sin? Is there the promise of eternal life from either of those names or any other name under heaven? No. No. We know the verse from John 14, verse 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ declared of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. Beloved, you can't be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Oh no, you can't be saved in any way, shape, or form by the works of your hands. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul's letter to those churches of Galatia, chapter 2 and verse 16, notice what it says. It says, knowing that a man is not, what's it say? A man is not justified by the works of the law. What is the purpose of the law then? What is the purpose of the Ten Commandments? As I hold the Ten Commandments up, let me say it differently. As I hold myself up in light of the Ten Commandments, what do I find? I find that I come up short. Huh? For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And I hold up myself before the Ten Commandments, I realize that I'm a sinner. That I have transgressed against the law of God, the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God, the law of God shows me that I'm a sinner, that I'm condemned and under the wrath and judgment of God. But there's no way to be saved through that law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But, there's another one of those beautiful buts in the Bible. But, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. What's that word justified mean? I'm a simple guy. I need simple definitions. To be justified simply means to be made right. To be made just. To be made right. Be mindful. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that, or in order that we might be justified. What? Made right. By the faith of Christ and not the works of the law. Now listen to this. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be, what? Justified. You can't be made right by keeping the law. By the way, who can keep the law? Hopefully you understand that not a one of us in this room is capable of keeping the law. Only one. Only one, that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He kept it. He was what? Without spot. Without blemish. He was indeed the perfect Lamb of God. So we see that religion cannot save. But Jesus Christ can. The gospel. Why can't the gospel be stopped? Oh, stick with me. Stick with me. We see the call of the gospel. We see that part of that call is a call to salvation in Christ, is it not? The call to be saved. There's something. There's something that can only be described, and I don't mind using this word one bit. There's something miraculous in the gospel. There's something wonderfully miraculous. A man can live, and if you were saved later in life, you understand what I'm saying here. A man can live his life with no use whatsoever for Christ. With no use whatsoever for the Bible or the things of God. And somewhere along the line, he can hear the gospel. He can hear about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something that happens. There's something wondrous that takes place. And the only thing I can describe it is something supernatural takes place. Where there's a light that comes on. No accident. That the Bible says that God commandeth the light to shine out of darkness. There's that light that comes on. And then something takes place. And you've heard the gospel. You've read a tract. You've heard some preacher, a Sunday school teacher, maybe mom or dad, somewhere, somehow, somebody told you what Jesus did. Something takes place in your heart. Something takes place in your heart. And you believe, as Paul's been talking about. You believe Jesus did that for me. You can't stop that with a law. You can't shut that up. It's the power of God unto salvation. Listen to these words. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul to another church in the city of Colossae. His letter to Colossae in chapter 1. We read in Colossians 1 verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. No other religion, no man-made religion can give this. Listen. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So many times I've talked to Asim Rahim and asked him, did you have any hope before you knew Jesus of heaven? No, preacher. No. Islam was a hopeless religion. There's no hope in Islam, but there is in Christ. For the hope which is laid up, look at that, for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. That day you heard, someone told you. Now listen, listen to this, these next words, verse 6, which has come unto you. What were those Jewish leaders afraid of? What did they declare back in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6? These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Paul's talking about the day that the gospel came to Colossae and folks got saved. And indeed, even the gospel's enemies, the detractors of Christ, had to confess that that gospel would turn things upside down there. Topsy-turvy, if you will. Which has come unto you. As it is, look at this, in all the world. We recounted not a complete list. All those cities, all those areas, all those parts of the world where the gospel had reached in 30 years. Paul, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it. Now listen. And knew the grace of God in truth. Isn't it wonderful? To come to know the grace of God. I've tried over and over again through the years to try to communicate. There's no way, real way to communicate that. How do you communicate how the grace of God actually works and comes to us? Huh? What do you mean, preacher? We understand what the grace of God is, don't we? It's that unmerited, undeserved blessing, that undeserved favor that we receive from God. But how do we describe the act of that thing, or the realization, maybe a better word, of that in our lives? What does Paul say there in Colossians 1, which God, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. See, that word new there talks about something you experience. Aren't you thankful the day you experience grace? Huh? You experience grace. God doing for you what you didn't deserve. God doing for you what you could not do for yourself. His grace. Ministering His grace to us. It's a call. This call to the gospel is a call to salvation, but it doesn't stop there, does it? It's also a call to service for Christ. All these ones, none of these cities we read of earlier would ever have been reached if it wasn't also for that powerful call to serve Him. To serve our Savior. To serve Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, you know one of my favorite passages in all the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Where it says there again, talking about that grace. It says, for by grace are what? By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. So we understand Paul makes it very, very clear. If you're saved here today, it wasn't something you did for yourself. It was something that God did for you through His Son. It was something that God accomplished for you through the cross of Calvary. Indeed, in that death of Christ, shedding His blood for our sins, paying the price of my sin, and then again, rising from the dead in victory over sin and the grave. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 makes that perfectly clear, doesn't it? Where you and I trust that work. What God did for us. But the very next verse speaks of this call to service, does it not? Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, because, the idea is because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Again, emphasizing, does it not, that the salvation is not something I did for myself. God did that in me. The work of Christ in and through us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But the verse doesn't stop there, does it? Unto good works. Unto service. God saved you to serve Him. God saved us to serve Him. And then it goes on to say, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. In what? That service. That service. I'm praying the Lord help me be sweet. Brother Hudson preached last Sunday. I know how sweet he is. And so I'm trying to stay sweet. God didn't save you to leave you sitting on a church pew. Well, I blew that real quick, didn't I? God saved you to serve Him. Huh? God saved you to get busy for Him. God saved you to represent Him. God saved you that you... Now listen to this. So you could take folks to glory with you. Huh? Created unto good works. Service for Him. Service for Him. Oh my. My prayer is, as always, as a pastor, God would grant us folks that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful. I'm ever so thankful as I look out across this congregation and see folks that God has given to us. Folks that love Jesus. Folks that are serving Christ. Praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that. But consider with me, if you would. Consider what the Lord would do right here in the city of Fort Worth through a church that was totally sold out for Him. On fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not satisfied with mediocrity. Not satisfied with the status quo. But every day, now listen, every day looking for Him to use us for His glory. For His honor. Oh my. Pray. Pray for me. Pray that God would give you a pastor that was a fire with Christ. That there'd be a renewal and a refreshing of the love for the gospel and the love for lost souls. pray that God would do that for your preacher, but for every one of us as a church. Every one of us. I read this week. It's recorded that John Wesley said this. John Wesley said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I would set the entire world on fire. I believe that. The Lord Jesus Christ took 11 rather reluctant disciples and threw those men in 3 decades, 30 years, the world was topsy-turvy, upside down. Huh? Well, preacher, it's different today. Well, I know it's different. Sure it is. There's a lot different. But there's a lot of things the same too, isn't there? God's still the same God. I still serve the same Savior. We still have the same book. And we still have the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? In fact, beloved, I would venture to say that we have more abilities and resources today than the Apostle Paul could even imagine. Huh? Wow. Next Sunday night. Be mindful of that, please. Please be here next Sunday evening. It's an important day for our church family. We're going to ordain David Martin for the gospel ministry. He and Kelsey and Lucas, sometime shortly after that, will be heading to the country of Argentina. Now be mindful. The Martin family will be going. But we go with them. We go with them. As we are here to hold the ropes, to pray, to give, to be here for them. Hey, we're living in days where there's instantaneous contact to the four corners of the earth. It's amazing. I remember the very first missionary that a church I pastored sent out. And he was in the eastern part of Kenya, Africa. And we communicated by letter mostly. Huh? You'd say, how old are you, preacher? Well, too personal to tell you. Huh? He'd write me a letter, and 3 weeks later, I'd get it. I'd write him back, and guess what? 3 weeks later, he'd write it. Huh? I mean, email was something that was, what? I mean, we were just starting to figure out what that was then. And now you take your smartphone, you dial a number, and you're looking at a person on the other side of the earth face to face. Huh? Get a phone call almost every week from a missionary somewhere. It'll be a Fort Worth number or some number in the States. I pick it up. He says, preacher, I'm calling you from some remote place in the world. Huh? We go with them. We go with them. Our prayers, our contact. Please be here next Sunday night. It's not the preacher sending the Martins to Argentina. It's Metropolitan Baptist Church. Bruce Martin is in Mexico today. Penny and Robin Fafuina will be home from Samoa here in a few weeks. Harry and Jennifer Shepherd in Idaho, the Gadays, and the Internet Ministry. Oh my, so much, beloved. It's an amazing. I consider it a great privilege to be the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church. You and I are a blessed people. We're not a huge church by any means. But we have the privilege of being involved with ministries around this earth planet. Yes, our six that are sent out from our church. But then 60-some more that we support and we're part of their ministry. These ones, you know what their desire is? Every one of them. You know what their heart is? Their desire, their goal? To turn the world upside down. To turn the world upside down. And we're part of it. When you get up in the morning to get ready to go to the job or to the schoolhouse or whatever your daily function is going to require of you, what do you ask God for? Do we ask God, give me opportunities to talk to somebody? Give me opportunities to, in some way, some fashion, Lord, make an impact for you in someone's life today? Huh? Do we pray that? What if tomorrow morning everyone in this room woke up and the first thing they did is they opened their Bibles and prayed, may God use me to turn this world upside down? Won't we please, beloved? Won't we please covenant to pray that prayer? To pray that prayer. You see, there's the continuing of the gospel as well. Yes. That's summed up in those simple words, and I'm going to close with this. Simple words from the Apostle Paul to his young friend Timothy. This church is certainly familiar with these words. What it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me, the things that I taught you, Timothy, the things that you heard of me among many witnesses, the same, those very same things, commit thou to faithful men. As I've taught you, Timothy, you teach others. What I've told you, Timothy, you tell others. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. How does it continue? Why cannot the gospel be stopped? Because regardless of what the law says, regardless of what false religion says, regardless of what any man or any group says, they cannot stop you from sharing Christ. Huh? Can't stop us. My only fear is that we would stop ourselves. That we wouldn't take the promise of the gospel, the continuing of the gospel, serious. It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. You know, we have a very rich heritage as a church. We're known far and wide across this country is a mission-minded church. I'm thankful for that. But sometimes we can be focused on what's going on across the land, across the sea, and forget what's going on right here. What's going on next door? What's going on across the street? To my knowledge, everybody's not saved in Fort Worth. To my knowledge, my understanding is there's still folks that need Jesus living all around us. Would we be some of those that would strike, forgive me for saying it this way, strike fear in the unbelieving. But they've come here also. Let's stand together. Father, this morning we've tried to preach your word and hold it up before our hearts and eyes. Father, we've tried to magnify your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's our longing, Father, our desire that our hearts would be again excited about Jesus, excited about Christ, excited about what you have done for us. Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, would you stir in hearts across this room, young ones, old ones. Father, I don't know that there might be some in this room that would realize that you want them in your service in some place, in some land. But I know, Father, I'm completely confident that you want every one of us in your service where you have placed us. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, I start with a man standing behind this holy desk. God, I pray, set our hearts afire for Thee, Lord. Set our hearts afire again for You. What a privilege, what an honor it is to be known as a mission-minded church. But, oh God, God, make us a gospel-minded church. A Jesus-minded church. To be here, Father, is that place where folks can indeed hear and come to know our Savior. Pray, Father. Oh God, I pray. Lord, help us understand my responsibility and then every one of us' responsibility to serve you, to represent you to this community, to this city, to this world. Lord, please liberate our hearts today. Take away every hindrance, every obstacle. Indeed, set us free to serve you. Free, Father, of the fear of men. Free, the fear of our own selves. Oh God, free to serve you. Well, bless, Lord, I pray. Bless as we have this invitation. Lord, please stir in hearts throughout this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
As we sing, beloved, please just obey the Lord. Please obey Him. Do what He'd have you to do. Obey Him, whatever He's saying to you this morning, please.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white
in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
My prayer was that I could preach a message that would be truly encouraging in the gospel. Can't we get excited about the gospel? Excited about Jesus. Do you ever ask yourself, ever wonder where you would be today if Jesus hadn't saved you? Scary, isn't it? It's a fearsome thought for this guy. Where would I be today if Jesus hadn't intervened in my life? Someone hadn't come hither where I was. Man, might we be used for Christ's glory, used for His honor, used for His kingdom's sake. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I do want to apologize. One of our air conditioners is acting up again this morning. Saw those fans going. At least it's not 95 in here like it is outside. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good. Please, you all come back tonight. Brother John, come.
Our course is Blessed Assurance. We'll sing that. This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You're dismissed.